CBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Andy Field. It appears that NATO's military alliance will get its 32nd member after Turkey says Sweden made changes that Turkey demanded on weapon sales and anti-terrorism, so Turkey has dropped its opposition. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
More security for Turkey and a stronger NATO.
The announcement made in Lithuania, where NATO's gathered for meetings. President Biden's there, expected to rally support for continuing help for Ukraine. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer acknowledging the ongoing deadly flood disaster in his home state.
Streets have been turned into rivers. Houses have been swept away in their entirety. And sadly, at least one person has lost her life.
There is flooding in various areas throughout the East. An escaped jail prisoner accused of shooting a California Highway Patrol officer and killing a hostage outside of Sacramento is now under arrest. Wall Street major indexes had an up day. This is ABC News. Harry Styles, the latest singer hit on stage by an object thrown from the crowd.
In a video posted on social media, Harry Styles is walking off stage, not singing, and something hits him near his eye. The object thrown from the crowd with some serious velocity, and it appears Styles was hit hard and stunned. This was at a concert over the weekend in Vienna. No word from Styles or his camp about the incident. Recently, several artists have been hit while on stage, including Drake and Bebe Rexha, who was hit by a phone, suffering a black eye, and she needed stitches. Jason Anundsen, ABC News, Hollywood.
The TSA today saying agents have stopped more than 3,200 guns from going through airport screening checkpoints during the first half of the year. That's more than all of last year. Transportation Security Administration also says the number of guns found loaded so far this year is also higher, about 92%. The increase in guns found comes as more passengers are flying. Andy Field, ABC News.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. Door County is facing an invasion of Asian jumping worms. According to the Door County Daily News, the Sturgeon Bay compost site has closed as they deal with the problem. The Door County Invasive Species Team and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources were called after a customer found worms in some mulch. Asian jumping worms are considered invasive. They deplete soils of nutrients and moisture and can ruin a garden. If you're concerned about your own garden or business, the City of Sturgeon Bay Facebook page has a link to the Wisconsin DNR website. The Seymour Police Department is asking for your help in finding a man who totaled a fence at the Outagamie County Fairgrounds. The incident happened Saturday, July 8th, when a driver drove his pickup truck over a fence causing severe damage. Authorities are asking those with information to please contact the Seymour Police Department. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Sandwiches are the original fast food. What could be easier than spreading a bit of mustard on Country Hearth's cracked wheat bread, then topping with smoked ham and cheddar, or maybe a peanut butter and strawberry jam on Kids' Choice Whole Grain White? So, on your way to the lake or park this summer, skip the drive-thru and pack a cooler with your favorite sandwiches instead. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night at 7 WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. This is, you know, one of the Civic Media stations. And before I jump into my guest, I want to make sure all of you listeners are fully aware of what is happening with Civic Media and are out there encouraging people to donate blood. Please go to https civicmedia.us/giveblood/ folks. Jump on and you can find out all you can do to give blood. Folks really need it. This is for the hashtag Civic Pints, and we need blood in Wisconsin, folks. Please, please, please. Here's a trick. If you submit your selfie at the webpage address, you can be entered to win prizes. Like, they got a pair of tickets to the Brewers. 50 pairs are being given away. And there's a pair of tickets that's headed to State Fair coming up, another 50. And then Civic Media even has a swag pack, 100 swag packs. So jump on early and go for those Brewers tickets or State Fair, you know, Civic Media swag, you know, that's great stuff. But hey, folks, please jump on. Let's get blood to folks that really need it in the great state of Wisconsin. Let's keep us moving forward. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, folks, I'm very, very proud to introduce the guest for tonight, Jonathan Brostoff. Jonathan Brostoff is a former state assembly rep. He currently is with the Common Council in the city of Milwaukee. I haven't had a chance to talk to him or introduce him to you before, but he has a lot to share with us about this whole budget process and his perception on how the, you know, certain right-wing Republicans have really tried to play a divide and conquer tactic with Wisconsin. So I'll let Jonathan tell you more. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on. It's a good night to discuss politics. That's for sure. We got a lot going on.
It's sunny out there. It's a classic summer day. So before we get into some of the specifics, how about sharing some of your background with listeners so they have an idea who you are and how you ended up sitting in the seat that you are?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Jonathan Brostoff, and I'm currently the alderperson for the 3rd District here in Milwaukee, but before that, I served for 8 years in the state legislature in the 19th Assembly District, in large part because of Mark's help to get there. It was a very tough race in the beginning. And then before that, I spent about just under two decades working and volunteering in various homeless shelters, mostly 11 to 17 year old shelter pathfinders, and also at some other ones, including the SDC Family Support Center. Basically my path to politics started very early at 14, working in a myriad of direct service agencies, and I kept kind of going along that path. And then after my AmeriCorps service, after I graduated high school, I really decided I needed to learn more about the systems at place that created a society that, you know, produced such such a dichotomy and disparate wealth outcomes. So that's how I started volunteering on campaigns of people I believed in, and eventually started working in the offices of various elected officials at multiple levels. And then I decided to run myself. So that's where I'm at. I have not yet lost an election, so it's been a good run so far, and I've got to accomplish some good stuff. But very, very happy to be at the city now. It's a very unique opportunity and wildly different than it was at the state.
So let's, before we jump into sort of the current lay of the land, you were initially elected as assembly rep for the 19th district in 2014, and so you served 8 years, right? So almost a decade. So you have a lot of experience looking at the world from Madison and the chairs of Madison, and also as a minority party player in that whole thing.
Yes.
I know, though, before we get into the perspective, you were successful in moving some legislation, right? Especially with hearing impaired, right?
Yeah, I was able to get a few pretty substantive pieces through. The biggest one was my deaf bill to help the deaf community here in Wisconsin, which I'm very proud of. I was also able to stop some pretty bad legislation. There was a move to get rid of professional licensure in Wisconsin. It's part of a larger national movement, but Wisconsin's kind of ground zero because of the incredible amount of infrastructure the Koch brothers had invested in here, and they're on the ground, they're kind of boots on the ground capacity. But we're able to defeat that and able to get my legislation through in that context, which was very difficult, but it was a good lesson in how to navigate incredibly suspect waters. And there were a couple other small things. There's some Alzheimer's legislation, some regulations around unarmed combat sports, and a few other things. But the deaf bill is really kind of my shining achievement, and feel very proud of that one.
Yeah, it's just, what is that mean? Many people don't probably even know what that means or what actually it accomplished for human beings in the state. Like, what are the key highlights of that bill?
Basically, it makes it much better for people in deaf community who often rely on interpreting services for their ability to communicate with the rest of the world. And we're able to overcome a pretty much disaster for the community, and that would have blown up their opportunity for access, and come forward with a better regulatory structure, as well as a basically like kind of a self-correcting mechanism moving forward that didn't exist. So basically it just made lives much better for the deaf community in Wisconsin. I would say arguably for generations to come. And it was tough because the deaf community doesn't really have a lot of political power at the time, or really a lot of money or stuff like that. In fact, compared to their hearing counterparts, they're much worse off socioeconomically. So it was a big lift, but we're able to do it and get it through unanimously in both houses eventually.
That's awesome. So your time there, you actually participated in at least a couple of budgets, right? The whole process?
Yeah, both under Walker and Evers. So very different, Very different. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take that, you know, that bring that statewide perspective for all of us here.
Sure.
And I just want to revisit some of this because we have a budget deal that has been passed now, but I think it's important to always remember sort of the where we started and where we're at and how we got there and where we're the road forward. So take us back. You are now facing this budget as a city alderman, and you see Tony Evers' budget proposal. What do you see good for the people in creating a better Wisconsin with that initial budget? And then frame it in the idea, right? I want to see like how that was taken apart and how they did it. And let's just have a conversation.
Sure. Well, the initial budget had a lot of incredible, very progressive, very wonderful pieces of it that unfortunately under the Republicans got ripped to shreds. I'll go over a couple highlights that I thought were very important. One is, especially in Milwaukee, a pretty big deal, which is the amount of the huge investment he put into removing lead service lines and basically preventing lead poisoning, which disproportionately would have helped Milwaukee, but would have helped a lot of parts of the state. There were hundreds of millions put into that. Another one is, he put a lot of money in for the continuum of care for people with various needs, including behavioral health issues, and actually declared it the year of mental health. So there was just he put a ton of money into care facilities, psychiatric treatment, etc., which is severely needed and also can be very helpful preventing issues down the road. And the last piece of it I'll just highlight was kind of the long-standing fight there's been since Walker, which is expanding Medicaid and bringing Badger Care up to the level of many other states, including other Midwestern states that were governed by Republicans like Indiana at the time. And this is hard to, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars just from a fiscal standpoint that we're losing out on every year. We don't expand Medicaid, but on top of that, it's also most importantly, people not getting access to the service that they need for healthcare, and especially for preventative healthcare, which can prevent someone from having to get their healthcare through emergency rooms down the road. When Walker first decided to run for president years ago, he made this a huge, you know, line in the sand, and the Republicans have maintained it, but it's hurting us every single year. And that was another provision that was very hopeful to be in there, but unfortunately that the Republicans ripped to shreds.
I think that there was a significant cost, right, of loss of federal dollars too with the
failure. Oh, yeah.
With the Medicaid.
Hundreds of millions of dollars every single year. So by now, I mean, it's astronomical, the amount. Yeah.
So the one other briefly here before we go to the break, and then we'll come back. His tax cut was aimed at the middle class and not the wealthy, right?
Correct.
Okay, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Jonathan Brostoff, former state assembly, now currently on the Common Council in Milwaukee. We are talking about the budget process and the Republicans' divide and conquer strategy and how we're going to overcome that to keep us moving forward. Come on right back. This is your Paul Revere Show.
Summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows around 63. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 77. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night, 59. Partly cloudy skies. Upper 60s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Much warmer Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 87.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
Oh. Welcome back, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night at 7 at WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. Civic Media's voice to the state. And here we are out of Waukesha. And we are honored to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff, former assembly person from the 19th District, currently a member of the Common Council representing District 3 in the city of Milwaukee. And we're talking about the budget and shared revenue and how that all played out. And we were just before the break talking about the initial proposal by the governor and his tax breaks focused on the middle class with some real focus on some super benefits to folks. So Jonathan, in response, what did, I call him King Voss, what did King Voss and company do?
Well, they decided to basically blow a bunch of the extra money the state had on targeting the extremely, or the, I'd say the very wealthy to the extremely wealthy, and just funneling a ton of money into a relatively few amount of hands, where the average Wisconsinite would have seen basically no difference. But if you were making, you know, half a million, you know, you see a little bit more. But if you're making millions, you'd see a huge difference. And that was their kind of take on it. And sorry, I've got my little ones that are somehow must have escaped their room. They're supposed to be getting ready for bedtime right now. But I'm sorry if you can hear that.
We can't hear anything and we can't see anything. So just
okay.
Let's just.
I got my screen up.
So that's all right. We can hear some happy children chatter in the
back. Yeah,
that's all right. But let's talk about sort of this attack by the far right Republicans and how they really tried to go after the concept of local control and divide and conquer the city from the greater state. How did you see that playing out?
Well, unfortunately, it's been going on for a while, and they've really perfected it at this point, because they have nearly a two-thirds majority in both chambers. So they have basically, you know, they used to be, the Republicans in Wisconsin historically have been known at least as the party of local control. And nationally, that's a big thing is, you know, they just want federal government out of the way. They want the locals to decide. They want state government out of the way. They want the municipal and local government to decide. But it couldn't be further from the truth as far as, you know, these last 10 years or so. Most recently, one of the big things they've been doing is, again, pushing this, you know, whatever the flavor of the week for their national outrage machine is, whether it's, you know, critical race theory or DEI or any of that stuff. So this last iteration is they basically said Milwaukee can get access to the life-saving critical money that it needs, which partially we need because the state has been starving us out and stepping on our throat for so many years. But nonetheless, the money that we need, but they're going to attach a bunch of poison pills to the package that our policy, no matter what we do with the money. So if we get the money, it's policy. If we don't, it's policy. And an example of that is hiring a bunch of new police and fire, or specifically police, you know, removing the ability to use tax dollars for to use those dollars generated that way for things like the HOP, you know, trying to take away our ability to have DEI and Office of Equity policies. One of the most powerful civilian oversight bodies for police and fire in the country is housed in Wisconsin through the FPC, the Fire and Police Commission here in Milwaukee, and removing basically a lot of the policy making from that body, as well as authority over the chief, over the decisions of hiring. So those were examples. But again, basically, they have wanted all these kind of wish lists of things. And so they jammed it in this year because they knew that they had some leverage over the governor, whereas normally he would just veto it.
So, you know, you touched on a bunch of different issues, poison pills. I don't know if a lot of people, especially if you're not living in the city, really understand the full import of some of that.
Sure. But
you had mentioned, you know, mandating hiring police, but it was also specifically a putting police officers in schools,
right?
After the school board had said we don't really need it, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah, 25 what's known as SROs or school resource officers, which are putting 25 cops in schools, which is in direct response to the local government making a decision about this and saying they don't want this anymore. And in direct conflict with that, the state came in, intervened, and took over and removed that opportunity for local decision making from elected officials.
You know, in your capacity, what did you see from other municipalities around the state when this piece of legislation really attacks Milwaukee in particular? Did you hear anything from other folks that you may have known?
There was some solidarity in certain regards with the League of Municipalities. There was a little bit, but overall, everyone, I think, felt that they were so over a barrel because they were getting a 20%, at least 20% increase in shared revenue that they basically didn't raise a big fuss over it. And they kind of had to publicly, felt that they had to publicly support it. So I think there was that sentiment, but they just have been starved of resources for so long that they felt they needed the shared revenue above all else.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with Jonathan Brostoff, giving us the inside scoop on how this budget process is playing out. Come on back and hear more details. Again, this is your Paul Revere Show.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The largest peacetime military alliance in the world will be getting larger. NATO says Sweden has made changes Turkey's been demanding on fighting terrorism and other issues. NATO Secretary General Jan Stoltenberg.
President Erdogan has agreed to forward the accession protocol
for Sweden to the Grand National Assembly as soon as possible.
NATO gathering in Lithuania for meetings. President Biden is there, expecting to urge continued support for Ukraine in its war against Russia. But Mr. Biden opposing NATO membership for Ukraine right now. More than 35 million Americans on alert for extreme hot weather from California to Florida. Temperatures over 100 in some places. After storms in the Northeast, deadly flash flooding emergencies. Northern California man who was in jail, charged with shooting a California Highway Patrol officer and killing a hostage, now recaptured after escaping yesterday. Law enforcers say Eric Abreel was found in the woods. This is ABC News.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. Police are looking for a Manitowoc man and are asking the public for help. The Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office say they're looking for 24-year-old Nathan Holen. Holen led police on a high-speed chase last Friday morning around 10 a.m. The chase started when Holen refused to pull over and ended when he crashed into a utility pole near Main Street and Woodward Street in the village of Brandon. Despite his car being totaled, Holen managed to evade authorities, who set a perimeter and called in the canine unit. While searching Holen's car, authorities found fentanyl as well as a large amount of cash. Anyone with information regarding Holen's whereabouts should call the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office.
A Fond du Lac child is fighting for life after falling into a bonfire. According to Fond du Lac Fire Rescue, the incident happened Saturday night around 10 p.m. on Vermont Street. The child was taken to a local hospital, then airlifted to Madison by helicopter. No other details are available at this time.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. I am privileged and honored to have Jonathan Brostoff as our guest tonight, former state assembly person who brings that Madison expertise to the discussion. Currently, he is an alderman with the Third District in Milwaukee, sits on the Common Council. And we've been talking about the deal on the budget that was cut. So, Jonathan, what is the deal that finally got signed in place coming out of the governor's proposal and a middle class tax break and then the right-wing king boss bill on giving the money to the rich? What actually ended up getting signed, and where are we at?
Well, they did move forward with a bill that was a lot of the tax cuts. That was the kind of the, there was a couple aspects of the veto pen that were pretty prominent in this one, but the major one I would say was removing the giveaways to the wealthiest, you know, around us, and they also he was able to use his veto pen. Wisconsin has this kind of like, it's known as the Vanna White or Frankenstein veto, so he was able to change some numbers around. And instead of having just a couple year, you know, short increase for the revenue for public school children of about $323 or so, he basically made it indefinite with a 400 year increase. So he was able to manipulate he was able to Vanna White the numbers and put, you know, the extra zero in. That was probably the most reported aspect of it because it was so novel, it's completely legal. That's just how the Wisconsin budget works. But I would say the biggest part was probably the veto of the giveaways to the millionaires and billionaires that he did. And there was, you know, a lot of compromises. And at any time you have shared government, there's going to be a lot of compromise. You know, there was some money for PFAS cleanup, and, you know, there was some money for local governments and, you know, all the kind of normal stuff that's historically been kind of like good governance in Wisconsin. But I would say the biggest fight was over the tax breaks and the budget. And then right before that was the other aspect to it, which was shared revenue deal that Milwaukee was a huge part of and was uniquely treated, but was actually, you know, for the whole state. That's another topic we can touch on, but might be one of a lot of interest given that we're voting on it tomorrow here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the whole shared revenue concept, because you talked about a little earlier that it was part of this divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, we had Governor Walker and then the Republicans for years and years and years. The shared revenue proposal was bad for all municipalities all over the state.
Yeah.
Right.
For the most part, there were a handful that benefited significantly, but almost exclusively, yes, it was a bad deal, including for some of the rural areas as well.
Right. And so, I mean, that, and then this time around, all of a sudden they said, we're going to have some money in the future go towards shared revenue. And so there's municipalities that were starved for money and they wanted it. Right. And so,
yep.
Setting aside from Milwaukee, the municipalities, some got up, 15%?
It started at 15%, and then there was kind of a late minute change in the negotiations where it got up to 20%, which did a couple things because it puts more pressure on Evers to sign it, because you have all these municipalities around the state, including areas like Appleton, Green Bay, Oconto, Eau Claire, Ashwaubenon, Richland Center, etc., that were in dire need of more shared revenue. And, you know, we've seen this play out in all sorts of referendum across the state, trying to do simple things like, even, you know, for the schools, funding basic school services or, you know, capital improvements, but also for a lot of their important municipal functions. So you had a lot of areas that really needed that money. And when they sweetened the pot to 20%, I mean, that was for some of these areas, or at least 20%, for some of these areas, that was just an unthinkable lifeline.
They offered Milwaukee 20% too, right?
That would have been great. Milwaukee, unfortunately, only got a 10%. So they, right, again, pitted us against the rest of the state by carving out an exception where the 10% is not, it's a significant deal for Milwaukee, partially also because it has a mechanism where it can grow as long as we grow, which did not exist before. And then obviously with inflation and every, you know, price of stuff going on as it does naturally and even more so in the last year or so, that really has hit us hard. So we got a better deal as well, but in comparison to everywhere else, statistically, it was nowhere near what they got.
I throw that out because I'm on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Mm. And when we disperse money, for example, federal grant money, we've put that out as in terms of grants pro rata. Mm. So it's per person, not per city, right? Yeah. So everybody, we've tried to share those funds equally.
Which is how it should be. It makes a ton of sense.
Right? It sort of sounds that way, right?
Yes.
So they didn't do it. And so they created this divide and conquer kind of thing. So they put all this pressure on the municipalities outside of Milwaukee to lean on Tony Evers to sign it. And, yes, and in place, so they set up Milwaukee.
Yep.
And so Milwaukee had to live with these bad policy decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. They kind of stacked the deck where normally Evers would veto the hell out of, you know, all of these. But they, again, the concept of the poison pill, which the Republicans have become so expert, they know that there are people in Wisconsin who still want to govern, who believe in people getting their needs met and services being fulfilled and, you know, water being treated in municipalities or having your roads paved or whatever. And they leverage that and they use that against those who want to govern by, you know, basically being willing to threaten that unless you take all these extra, you know, crap that they want to enact. And it was even more so because, again, this wasn't just a Milwaukee deal, although Milwaukee was kind of the center of it, as it often is. This had to deal with everyone getting theirs. And if the governor did veto it, which I'm not, you know, might have been the right call, might not have been the right call, but it means that all these other localities and municipalities would have not necessarily been able to get their 20% increase, which again, especially in some of these areas that we're so starved out, really do need it. I kind of come at it with a Milwaukee view because I'm an older person here, but during my time at the state, I served on plenty of committees where we heard from areas where the local volunteer fire department couldn't even get enough vehicles or couldn't even get, you know, these are like volunteer firefighters from the community and they couldn't even get the most basic stuff because they're just getting so choked out. And ironically, these are actually heavily Republican areas, like for example, in Travis Trandall's district in southwestern Wisconsin. So anyway, it was a leverage. It was a negotiating tactic to pit Milwaukee against the rest of the state and to basically kind of play chicken with Evers along the way. That being said, we are now coming up on tonight is the eve of the vote of the final piece of that, which is the sales tax. In other words, we've got all the negative policy that I mentioned earlier and that we discussed, but we don't have any of the money yet. And it's possible we could get all the money, or excuse me, all the policy, none of the money, which would be the worst case scenario. But at this point, they gave it up to the Common Council by 2/3 vote to decide if we're going to take home that $200 million, about $200 million in revenue or not, which, you know, would be huge. And I'll just mention that, you know, you, as we were talking offline a little bit, you said that there was a portion of it that had to go to hiring new police, which is true. The, you know, we have to get up to 1725, I believe, and the current number is 1630. So the difference. So
that's 1,725 up from 1,600 and what?
30. Yep. So the difference basically breaks down to about $12 million of additional cost to the city and staff, which is huge. That's a lot. You know, $12 million is huge. That's half our library's budget, for example. But out of the about, I say 200 because it's a round number, but around 193, 194 million. So that takes us down to about 182 million, which is pretty much, you know, where we, that's pretty much the budget shortfall this year. So it's a huge lifeline, but tomorrow's the vote. Tuesday, the 11th, and I am, you know, can't make a prediction right now as to where we're at, but I'm hopeful we'll get it done.
So let's just talk a little bit about what's the debate now on the Common Council, and how is that playing out, and how are you and other alder persons talking about addressing these issues in the light of, you know, King Boss's divide and conquer strategy? I mean, how do we not fall prey or victim to that again?
Well, as far as the policies that were enacted, we are and have been working nonstop to come together and come up with some creative workarounds and solutions. And in some cases, there might even be litigation, especially, you know, regarding some of the potential home rule violations. And this is all, of course, in the context of August 1st, when we'll have a new Supreme Court justice here in Wisconsin, Jana Protasiewicz, which might flip, you know, which will flip kind of the balance to one that might respect home rule a little bit more and be more cognizant of the law. So we, I think, are pretty much in total agreement that we need to fight like hell against every single one of those, as or come up with ways to work around some of those provisions as best we can. But we want to leave all the tools on the table. We want to work with every single strategy and tactic that we can to overcome, because it's just not acceptable. And obviously, things like the DEI restrictions are so damaging and harmful to a city like Milwaukee that's historically used its government to disenfranchise certain, you know, members of the community based on their skin color. And we need to correct that and make up the disparities and keep fighting. So we will.
So the we're coming up on a break, and then we'll come back on more on the road ahead. But here in the last 30 seconds, what do you see are the key issues that are going to be debated tomorrow on the floor?
I'm not sure. I got to think about that one. That is a tough question to answer, and it's been wrecking my brain all night. Let me think on that and come back at the break.
We are going to come back with that question after the break, folks. You heard it here. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. You are hearing live on the playout of what this budget cut is doing to the city.
Yeah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Find small business calm at ooma.com/radio. That's OOMA.com/radio.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows around 63. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 77. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. 59. Partly cloudy skies. Upper 60s Wednesday with a chance for scattered storms. Much warmer Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 87.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
Be on it. Be on it. Mm-hmm. New York, stand
the f*** up. Welcome back. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, Civic Media Time, folks. And I am honored and privileged to have with me tonight Jonathan Brostoff.
Thank you.
Former State Assembly, now with the Common Council. And we've been talking about the whole budget process, shared revenue process, and how Milwaukee was played off against the rest of the state in really, really basic, unfair ways. But tomorrow, it's going to play out in the halls of the Common Council. So, Jonathan, how... give us the inside scoop. What's going to be happening tomorrow, and how do you see the various positions? And you don't have to name people, but what are the arguments, and what do you think is going to be at the core of getting to what? You got to get to 10, right?
Yep, we got to get to 10. The part of the provision when it passed was for not a simple majority, but a two-thirds. So in the Common Council, 15 members means 10. I mean, this is the most important vote we're going to take probably in our lifetime here in Milwaukee. Being able to either A, bring in $200 million of additional revenue with the shared revenue component that can grow, or losing $200 million of services through cuts if we don't get it, is as big of a decision as we'd ever have. And I think it's no exaggeration to say this is a choice between losing the city and saving it. And I plan to save it. That'll be my vote tomorrow. It's going to be on a sales tax, which is regressive by nature in the sense that it does not take income into account. And therefore, people who make more money will have a lesser percentage of their overall money affected. People who make less money will have a larger percentage. But it also, as opposed to property taxes, which often through rent do get passed down to everyone here, is not solely from Milwaukee. About the estimates are about 35% of the property taxes would be from outside of Milwaukee. So you get people now coming in for Summerfest or going to see a live show or basketball game or Brewers or whatever. So about 35% of that or so is estimated to be from people outside of Milwaukee. On top of that, it does have exceptions of what can be taxed, such as food from the grocery store, medicine, gas, etc. And on top of that, I mean, if you look at a district like mine, I represent one of the wealthier district, one of the wealthiest district in the whole city. And my district, the third district, probably would pay, just throwing a rough estimate out there, maybe let's say 15% of the burden of this $200 million sales tax, and probably would you know, get about 3% of the services, because relatively speaking to the rest of the city, my district doesn't use a ton of services. Whereas there are districts out there who are much worse off socioeconomically who are going to have that inverse, are going to pay about 3% into it, but get about 15% of the service benefits, which I think, which is how it should be. I think that's totally fine. But I think for a lot of those districts is actually a much better deal, because that's the deal that we make as a society. We all pay in together and we get stuff for cheaper, as opposed to if we all individually had to pay for the service of garbage collection or, you know, get debris removal or any other municipal function. And so I think it's vital, especially when we're talking about what it would do to the fire department, you know, and even this, Mark, imagine this. Let's say we don't get the money. Let's say this doesn't work tomorrow. We don't get the 10 votes. So we have to make the, you know, we're going to have to, you know, make a $200 million cut because we just don't have the support for it. So if we get rid of every single one of our libraries, completely cut out all the Milwaukee libraries, that's only about 10%. That's only a little more than $20 million. We still have a huge amount to make up. And that's if we got rid of all the libraries completely. I mean, it's the unimaginable catastrophe that the city would suffer is not one I even want to think about, but that's what we're facing tomorrow. And I'll say this too. The other side of it is my district, again, is one of the wealthier ones. And I predict that if, God forbid, that did happen, it would be likely that there would be people who could afford to that would simply move to more functional municipalities that could get the garbage collected on time, could have a proper neighborhood services department or public works or whatever. And there would be this continuous death spiral. And I think it'd be worse than Detroit. And I think it would happen a lot quicker. And that's what we're facing. And that's why I'll be thrilled to cast my vote in support of saving our city tomorrow, in support of bringing home the $200 million in tax revenue for the city.
It seems to me, you know, because, you know, full disclosure, folks, I do live in Jonathan's district. And people always leave the city. There's always folks that are, you know, afraid of diversity, don't like, you know, a diverse community. So I don't know if that's the overwhelming concern. The question I have, we have communities that have been devastated for years with no money. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah.
We had a train station that was supposed to be built in 53206, right?
Yep.
Walker didn't do it. So all those jobs in that future are gone. What do you say to aldermen in terms of what can you give them in terms of a promise to say, I'm going to take the money now, but let's go do something together?
One example is the Biden bucks, the ARPA dollars. Now, every state across the country had municipalities that benefited from this, including Milwaukee, and the ARPA dollars we got were supposed to be for transformational, often infrastructure improvements and capital improvements that were supposed to be generationally transformative. Unfortunately, because of the gap that we've been suffering, a lot of that money's been used just to plug holes to keep basic municipal functions going. But if we can take home this revenue, and if we can do it immediately and get the ball rolling, we can, instead of using that money to plug holes, use it for these other transformational projects. And if we look at it, a lot of that money that we had that wasn't used to plug the hole already went to some of the hardest hit districts. We can keep doing that, but we have to bring the money home.
Well, we're all going to be watching tomorrow to see what happens, how it plays out, whether this Common Council can put it together.
One small correction. My wife is telling me it was Laos, not Cambodia. I misspoke, so I want to correct that record. Sorry about that. My bad. It's been a long day.
You heard it live. Watch the outcome tomorrow. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. Keep Wisconsin moving forward, folks. Thank you, Jonathan. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
If he's smart, he gon' act like a fan. Thinking you bigger, they got your head gas. We slow, so I get him a pass. Catch it. Yeah.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crew. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm in.